Welcome to Ask the Educator, a podcast brought to you by Healthmark Industries. Are you a sterile processing technician or manager? Maybe you work in infection prevention or biomedical engineering. Whether you're a frontline tech, endoscopy tech, OR nurse, or surgical services administrator, you undoubtedly have influence in medical device processing at your facility. In each episode, we speak with experts from the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team, industry leaders, or special guests from the trenches to answer your questions and bring you relevant industry information, equipping you for excellence in medical device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, and I will be your host. Now let's get started. Hey everyone, Kevin Anderson here, host of the Ask the Educator podcast. I'm excited to get into episode number 69. We're getting further along in these episode numbers. I can't believe we're this far. But I have the pleasure of introducing you all to my guest here, Sarah B. Cruz. Sarah has been very, very out there these days on social media and very active, and it's been very refreshing to see. She's also going to be a speaker for one of our international webinars coming up on the 16th. So don't miss that. I want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. But Sarah, just welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Hi, Kevin. I am so excited. And hello to all my fellow perioperative professionals listening in today.
Well, we're excited to have you, Sarah. And before we get started, for those people out there who may not really know you from social media or even in person, why don't you just give us a little bit of a background of just your professional background?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Sarah B. Cruz. I have a bunch of different letters after my name that pretty much just mean I'm a CSS nerd. I do sterile processing day and night, in and out, 24/7, 365. No, I'm just kidding. I don't work on Saturdays, but I kind of enjoy sterile processing. And I have been so very grateful for the opportunities that this profession has offered me and the industry to provide me with the space to grow and become the type of professional I want to be, that I very much try to position myself online with Pre-Treat CSS full-time at my full-time position, and even teaching academically to professionals that want to become that next level presentation of themselves in our industry. So if you want to gain real traction and objective driven goals with clear physical indicators of success, I am your girl. That's what I do.
Sarah, your enthusiasm is refreshing. So, and I'm glad you brought up Pre-Treat CSS. I know this is kind of your own project, and I did want to give you just a short opportunity to introduce it. Like, what's this about? Where did it come from? And how can others really interact with you through this side business or whatever that you have going on?
Yeah, thank you so much. So Pre-Treat CSS is officially 2 years old this year, and it was really exciting to create it pre-pandemic. And then the pandemic hit, and I almost felt like, you know, not to make another conversation about COVID, but when COVID hit, we had to decide what type of sterile processing technician we were going to be during it and coming out of it. And I refused to be the same sterile processing technician that wasn't achieving the objectives that I wanted for myself. And I knew I couldn't be the only one with this type of frustration in my field, because I know I've personally experienced that frustrated, stagnant, and stuck mentality where the next best thing is the fact that I get to punch out of work every single day. And I didn't want to live like that. And especially when I switched professions to sterile processing when I was a vet tech, and I, like, not for nothing, I was a good vet tech. Okay. I didn't have to leave being a vet tech, but I wanted something more, and I believe that sterile processing could give it to me. And I created Pre-Treat CSS to show individuals that you can be educated, you can be motivated, and you can be enthusiastic to bring the frontline to the industry that's waiting for you. And I want people to find their voices. So if I highlight how I'm doing it, maybe someone will find inspiration in that, and they'll definitely find a good laugh. So at least with that, we have that going for us.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you sharing about that. And I know that with that pre-treat CSS, you also have a YouTube channel. So I just want to plug that real quick for you. But go check it out. Go subscribe, be a follower, and get inspired, man. It's a great little channel. I've gotten to see some of the videos. So good job on that. So I mentioned that you're going to have a presentation coming up with one of our HealthMark International webinars. And during that presentation, you plan to address mentorship as part of it. And I'd like to kind of get into that a little bit deeper for this podcast, because it is so important. It's something that not a lot of people are really talking about, just, you know, being honest. So I thought that this would be a good opportunity. So what is the problem that you see in our industry today that could be positively influenced by mentorship specifically?
If I'm going to be blunt, succession. Like, we need to put the CSS in succession. And the turning point of our industry is very much now. And where we're going and how we're going to present ourselves as professionals, as a standalone profession, requires a good succession plan of the individuals that are transitioning towards retirement. If I'm being completely blunt. And it's not saying that I want to push anybody to retirement, because that's not it. And I really appreciate the OG real MVPs already laying it down in the field for us. But there is no middle ground between the frontline technician who's just starting, just out of school or out of self-study, and then the professional that is already recognized and admired by those individuals in the frontline. So there's this big middle gray area of professionals already in their professional practice that need to be able to cultivate how they're going to present for our industry space when these individuals leave it. And I can't say anybody honestly ever leaves sterile processing, because if you look around, like, all of our departments have people that just won't retire in them. And thank God, because at the same time, you know, you ask these individuals and they say, I don't feel like I can retire. I don't know who I'm handing this off to. So I think it's important that mentorship can feed this space of the up and coming industry professional to become that voice, that advocate, that professional presentation that our industry needs in order to be recognized by the healthcare industry.
Yeah, those are really good points. I think that anybody can relate to, just kind of, in at least in my experience anyway, I can relate to what you're saying, because, you know, we definitely had our mainstays in my department who had been there for many, many years. And it seemed like kind of the techs who were on the younger to middle age side were kind of almost a little bit of a revolving door, because there might be other opportunities that they're leaving for and things like that. And I think it is really important that we are able to show them the way to make a real career out of this profession, and that we help them out with that. One of the things that I am into and have been for my whole life is sports. And that's one thing that I think is done really well in sports, right? You have, you know, football is going on right now. You have, you have a young quarterback just drafted, and what happens? They get mentored by the guy who is about to retire, and their services are invaluable to that young quarterback. And we need to do that in our industry as well. And we should look to what's going on in other industries sometimes to really identify those things that maybe somebody else is doing really well, and maybe we could adapt that and bring that into our industry. So I really think that's an awesome point of emphasis that you've identified, and I think it will go a long way. So,
and, you know, Kevin, I think a big thing to point out is that we are only as good as our replacements.
Yeah.
And it speaks volumes when a department manager leaves and the entire department catches on fire, figuratively speaking, I hope. But, you know, have your fire extinguishers ready. But it says a lot when leadership leaves and it can't hold its own, so to speak. Our industry is personified the same way. Now, I'm not saying that the individuals already in place are the, you know, I'm not blaming anybody at all. I want to make that perfectly clear. But a good succession plan includes cultivating the replacements that we want to leave in our stead. And I think that's important. And a lot of the times when you have individuals pushed into leadership that may have not wanted to be in leadership, or they themselves have never been coached into leadership, that's not built into the offboarding process, dare I say. And it's important.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And we want to get into that. It's like and I agree with you. So this mentorship, we agree, could be part of the solution to this problem. So how do we get people to understand how to find a mentor, or maybe how do we find people and identify them as somebody who would absolutely be a great mentor to somebody else? Is this a formal discussion that you have, or does it happen more organically when you develop a relationship with someone? Like, what does that look like exactly?
Yeah. And I think this is a really great action question. So me, myself, and a Pre-Treat CSS, we like to talk philosophy, but the end result has to be actionable.
I
love that you asked that. Yes, it's so important. You need to have a plan, A, B, C, D. Even if it goes A, B, D, E, F, G, and it's all out of order, at least you had something laid out, right?
Yep.
So I want to point out that the first thing I have to ask is that, do you want a mentor? And that's not a philosophical question. I think it's because, you know, mentorship is this very broadband term that can be separated into different categories. So maybe you are seeking a classic mentor. Maybe you should approach someone for coaching opportunities, or maybe you should seek an individual for sponsorship or collegiate support. So a lot of the times, figuring out what type of support or growth you want to have really takes that step back, that hard stop for professional development, to see where you want to go as a professional, because that will clearly indicate what type of support or growth mentality you're looking for from an individual outwardly.
That's a great starting point. Great advice. I think a good way to also kind of help people understand when it comes to making that decision about mentorship, I know that you have your own kind of personal story about this. So that's what I wanted to really invite you to share is, you know, you had an experience with mentorship. I've seen you speak about it on social media, and hopefully we won't embarrass anybody on this podcast, but I know that you have a great experience with it. And I think that people could really get some value out of you sharing your story with a mentor that you had in the past.
Yeah, sure. So me personally, when I had opened with that stuck, frustrated, stagnant type of mentality, that was the point I realized I needed mentorship. Because me, myself, and at this point in time, I was really only a year into my sterile processing profession. It literally took that little for me to realize that I was going to be doing the same exact thing every single day. And if there was no greater purpose, I was going to stay in this mindset. So when I was in that moment, I actually almost became an EMT, like legit. I sat down with my uncle. He was the manager. We were going to go and take EMT courses. Like, I legit almost just bailed on sterile processing.
Sure.
But at that point in time, a position had become available in my state that had my now mentor was actually the manager there, David Jagrosi. And at that time, he was the Isham president.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a second. Like, wait a minute. So an Isham president is from Connecticut? Like, something comes out of the state besides grow basketball championships? You know what I mean? And I was like, wait a minute, this is huge. And there was an opening in the facility, and I was already frustrated and stagnant. And I was like, listen, I got to jump at this chance, because if working with an Isham president doesn't get me invigorated enough, well, maybe I should stop doing sterile processing. So, you know, I jumped at the chance, and fortunately I was hired, and I immediately started to bombard. Like, I was like, hey, what's up? Let's go. I want to be just like you when I grow up. And he's like, hold on a second. He's like, let's get you on the 6-month orientation first there. Just
right.
Like, pump the brakes a little bit. Right. So the ambition had never gone away, but I was dealing with a lot of my own character defects that he was waiting for me to sort out so that I could be ready professionally to take on the growth that I was anticipating. And I think that's a really big part and a very valuable aspect to David being my mentor, is that he was always very patient with me working out my own isms so that I could position myself to be the individual that he knew he could help me develop to. But you can't grow a plant out of sand. You know, I had to make my own soil. So, you know, I fortunately for me, it was very easy for me to identify somebody that I wanted to be mentored by now. But getting him to mentor me was a little bit more of a patience thing, just because I had my own character defects that were literally stopping me, that he helped me recognize very gracefully and very bluntly to the point, which I very, very appreciative of. I don't really have time to circle the drain. So he's always been straight to the point, and that's always served me in my professional presentation. So he's still my mentor today. You know, some call me stubborn, you know, tomato, tomato, we'll get there. But yeah, it's definitely been an interesting type of relationship, because everybody talks about how they want a mentor, but are they really ready to have one? What are you doing to gain one?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I thought it was kind of interesting to hear your story. We talked about this prior to recording, and, you know, that was a very unique situation that sort of came and fell in your lap in a way. It didn't fall in your lap, but the opportunity was there. That is unusual, where an Isham precedent is kind of working in your neighborhood there. But that being said, you know, maybe there are people in your department or in your health system or whatever, maybe they're not, you know, in some sort of, you know, Isham presidency or a board member or something like that. Maybe they're not, you know, in a specific position like that, but maybe their career is one to emulate. Maybe theirs is one that does kind of get you excited about the industry. And maybe, you know, even if it's just that one person or somebody even online, you know, somebody, you know, through a network on social media that you really admire, there are people out there and opportunities out there for people like you who really needed that mentorship to kind of keep the passion going for this industry. I think one of the things you kind of mentioned there in your story is that you were about to leave. And I think that this is something that happens with a lot of people. And sometimes people leave physically. They leave physically like you were planning to maybe become an EMT. But I also think that people check out mentally, right? They're on cruise control. They're in this thing because they have a job and they have a paycheck and whatever. But there's no passion there. There's no purpose. It's just to collect the check at the end of the day and get to the weekend, you know, and, you know, we're all at different steps in our lives. And sometimes you kind of flow in and out of different stages like that too. But I think that mentorship played a huge part in keeping your fire going for the industry. And I think that that's something that maybe others could really benefit from, which is why I really enjoy the fact that you're open and willing to share that story.
Yeah. And it's really my pleasure, because I think it's important to recognize vulnerability in mentorship, because I'd like to unpack that term admire that you use, you know, so there's a big saying, and it's like, don't ever meet your heroes, right? Because they're never how you've built them up in your head, right? And so I think it's important that when you are creating the type of professional presentation you want, you are in fact emulating the person that you look to every day. And you can see that with positive reflection and negative reflection. So let's take a look at the individual that, you know, has mentally checked out that you just described. They've mentally checked out. They're just coming in for the paycheck. They may be mirroring behavior of those in their department who are also mentally checked out. So we are, in fact, emulating the individuals that surround us and aspiring to be someone by collective presence. Whether we choose to or not, it will happen. Okay. So it's of a personal, professional choice that you have to say and take that hard stop and say, wow, am I burnt out because maybe I'm just not looking in the right direction? Even when you stare at the sun, your eyes can hurt. Okay. So sometimes you have to turn away to figure out which way you need to go. And I can't say that there isn't and wasn't a bunch of individuals in the space that I'm currently in that may feel burnt out sometimes. Sure. But I'm going to focus on the individual that I want to emulate, because that's who I'm going to take with me. Right. So it happens with good and positive. It's going to happen regardless. So who are you going to choose to emulate? And is it a person? Is it a personality? Is it an objective? Is it their goals? There's individuals that I look up to that we have absolutely nothing in common. Not a thing. Not a single thing. But their end goal is so strong that I admire their objectives. I want to emulate the objectives that they're trying to reach. That's another form of mentorship.
I completely agree. And I've had my share of people like that too, where some passionate people, bright people, and whether you enter into some sort of informal or formal mentorship, you still are able to learn and take a lot away from just being with them and, you know, working alongside them. But yeah, this is a great point that you made about mentorship. And I think that one of the things that both you and I are really happy about, and you mentioned it earlier, is having, you know, trying to supply people with some actionable steps. And it's one of those things. I remember going to an ISHM conference when I was brand new into SPD, and I was all excited about some of the presentations I had heard. And I didn't realize, you know, I started a conversation at lunch about it. And this lady, she was really great and honest. And she was like, so what are you going to do with that? Like when you get back to work or whatever. And I really had to think about it. I wasn't even sure, you know? And so that's like one of those things where as a speaker or as a podcast host, I like to try and give somebody something to do with the content. So all of that to say, what actions would you advise people to take if they want to have a mentor or if they'd like to be a mentor to somebody else?
Yeah, definitely. So, and I like how you use the terms informal and formal, because there is definitely a formal and an informal approach to literally your approach to mentorship, not just a mindset, but like how you're literally going to go up to this individual and say, can you be my mentor? You know, sometimes that's how it comes out. And, you know, how you approach the individual that you're hoping to seek guidance from, because that's all a mentor is the individual that you'd like to seek guidance from. So if you're looking for that classic mentor, it's going to be someone that tells you what they're doing, and then you take what they said and apply it to your life. Like my mentor, Dave, does not ever tell me what to do. He tells me what he's doing, how it's benefited him, and if that's something that I'd like to apply, maybe this is a strategy I could use. All right. So if you're looking for somebody that's more to the point, like you have to do 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, maybe you need to find an individual that's of a coaching background. And here's that actionable step for that. So you see someone that says, I do this, I do that, and here's what you should do. Reach out to them. And don't worry, we'll discuss how to reach out to them in just a second. And then let's say you're looking for an individual that you just want to grow with, you just want to vibe with, and you just want to be able to bounce ideas off of to make sure that you're growing in a direction that really mirrors your purpose. Lindsay Brown is a big collegiate support for me and very much a sponsor in this way. I know I can kick an idea out to her. She'll tell me what she thinks. You know, we'll have a little conversation about it, and then maybe we'll start talking about coffee because we both really enjoy coffee, right? But see how all the different dynamics are, that informal and formal, it's all very different. So really understanding that type of relationship you want to have that with them is going to make sure how you approach them is applied. So now that we've built all that in, helping you figure all that stuff out, I want to tell you right now, do not send them a message on LinkedIn that's 7 paragraphs long. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then I know you're like, oh, but how do I do it? You got to test the waters first. Just because you're seeking mentorship from them doesn't mean that they're able to give that to you. And I say this often, that mentorship is available, but it's not easily accessible. And a lot of the times accessibility is determined by how you broach the subject initially, right? So if you want to message them through LinkedIn, say, hey, how are you? I saw this episode on a podcast in which you spoke on. Thanks for sharing that information. Nothing to do with mentorship. See if you even get along with the person. See if how they respond or don't respond sit with you, because you have decided in your head that they're going to coach, mentor, or sponsor you, and they may not be interested, or they may have their plate full and they just can't. So really, I think the first actionable step is deciding mentor, coach, or sponsoring, and then saying hello, whether it's through LinkedIn, if you have their email, that's great, but not mentioning mentorship at all, because you're not going to be courting someone's objectives, right? You're going to be talking to this person. They're a real person. They have a family, they have goals, they have their own life, and you will essentially be a part that they're putting energy into. And you have to be conscious of that. Mm. They don't want to scare them off with a 7-paragraph hello. Like, just don't do it.
Sure. No, that's great. I like that you brought up the fact that you need to be respectful of their time and energy. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I think you could really easily forget about, is that anytime, you know, you're engaged with a speaker after an event, or if you're trying to establish a relationship through social media, so somebody who you may not have met in person, you're both taking time out of your day to work on that, establishing that relationship. And so it's a mutual respect type of thing to have and to be, you know, cognizant of. And I think most people right now are into the, like, hey, let's just kind of see what each other's about for a little bit before we open up messages that are a mile long and take 10 right. minutes to read. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty sound advice. But, you know, before we wrap up the interview, I just wanted to give you one last word on this. What does it mean to you? What is the final takeaway that people should have regarding mentorship?
All right. My final takeaway on mentorship is, you can absolutely do this alone. You do not need a mentor. I know, I just totally undid everything I just said, right? But hear me out, okay? You can go as far as you can go by yourself consistently over and over and over again, and your path will be well-defined, because you will reach a point in which you have to return to repeat the same steps you're doing. That's how paths are made. An individual goes down a path, creates the way for someone else to follow. So if you are working solo on your own professional development, who do you plan to have follow you if you're not making the gate? Allow a mentor to help you create the gateway to your next professional presentation. If you find that you're stuck, frustrated, or stagnant in your own professional growth, that may mean it's time to add a little bit of spice into the ingredients that make up your professional ambition. And most of the time, it's with mentorship or outside influence. They have gone down their path. Allow them to share it with you. And half the battle is making sure you check your own ego to recognize that seeking input does not make one weak. It doesn't make one unintelligent. And it doesn't mean you're undervalued. If anything, it means that you have pride in your professional development. You have goals that you're willing to take on to change our space. And you have a voice that needs to be recognized. Lean into the space that makes you the most uncomfortable, because that is the area in which you will shine.
Great last words, Sarah. I think it's very important to understand that you don't know everything in order to move on and move upwards. You can't be somebody who thinks they know everything. If you think you know everything and you don't keep yourself humble, then you're not going to grow the way that you should. So great last words. We look forward to having you on the international webinar and learning more about professional development. And thanks again for being here. The conversation went so fast. I could have talked so much longer, but really appreciate you.
Yes. Thank you for having me. All right, everybody. And thank you for putting the CSS in your success. Bye.
That wraps up our interview with Sarah B. Cruz. We were talking all about mentorship on this podcast, and she's going to be sharing more professional development tips through her international webinar on December 16th. You can register by going to hmark.com, click on the education tab, click on the webinar tab, and you'll find her webinar there to register. Don't miss this opportunity to continue your professional growth. And as always, thanks for listening. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.